All child development experts agree the best place for kids to learn about sex is at home from mom and dad. But for many of us, talking about sex is kind of uncomfortable. Amy Lang decided to try to do something about that. She's the creator of Birds Plus Bees Plus Kids. It's a program to help parents become the sex experts in their kids' lives. She's with us today to talk to you about how to talk to kids about sex. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Amy Lang, what is the biggest challenge that you've heard from parents?
What to say, when to say it, how to get started, providing too much information. I get that question a lot. You know, am I telling my kid too much? What's too much? What isn't enough? That kind of, people are confused about that. And it's understandable because in our culture, we don't get the kind of information that we need when we need it.
Bob in Wallingford emails, I don't ever remember getting the sex talk when I was growing up. Here's what I do remember: coming home from high school one day to find a poster in my room. It was of a giant condom with the words, if you give the gift of love, make sure it's wrapped properly. No one ever mentioned the poster, but I knew that my dad had put it there. Quick to the point, no awkward conversation. That was the extent of the talk. I came home from college a few years later to find the poster had made its way to my younger brother's room. Well, I suppose that's kind of the passive way around it, eh?
Absolutely the passive way around it.
So not what you'd recommend?
No, not what I'd recommend. Not what I'd recommend.
Well, when did your parents talk to you about sex?
I have a distinct memory of being about, I must have been about four because my brother was probably five or six, and we're lying on the floor on our tummies looking at this fabulous book called How Babies Are Made, which is one of the books that I recommend, and looking at the book. And I don't remember, I have no memory of not knowing how babies are made. I've always known, but I have a memory of that book. So I must have been about four.
Well, so you divide these parent education groups into eight and under and nine and over. What happens for kids at that nine-year-old age?
So what happens for kids at that nine-year-old age is that they are prepubescent. They're going to enter puberty at any moment. And right now, you know, we have girls who are having their periods at nine.
Mm-hmm.
So kids by nine, according to, this is not Amy Lang, this is the American Academy of Pediatrics, need to know the whole shoot and match. They need to know about contraception, HIV, STDs.
At nine?
By nine.
Wow,
by
that
nine.
Seems so young.
It seems so young, but if you think about the fact that a nine-year-old girl can get pregnant, right? And
yeah,
no one wants to
so.
Think about that. No one wants to think about it. But that's the fact of the matter. A nine-year-old can get pregnant. So both boys and girls need to know how to protect themselves. They need to know about contraception. And so what happens about then is that the conversation shifts from being very focused on what I call like the facts and the science of reproduction to being, and we're always talking about values with our kids. The emphasis kind of shifts from that factual stuff to more of the amorphous, emotional, social, psychological kind of implications about sex and sexuality and values and that kind of thing.
Maggie, you've been holding patiently. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have a 3.5-year-old son, and we are pretty open with him about all understanding his plumbing and our plumbing. But I am at a point now where he is going to the bathroom and playing with himself, and I want to know what the best way to have that conversation is.
So your son is exploring his body?
He is, and I think that's fine, but I don't want it to only be something that he discusses with his father, because obviously they have the same parts, but I don't know, you know, it's just sort of odd for me to see him in the bathroom playing with himself for such a long time when, you know, you just kind of want to say, come on, let's get going, you know, without it being, I don't want to introduce any shame into him exploring his body.
So, you know, it's great that he's exploring his body and that you're open to that. And what you can say to him is exactly that. Okay, hey, it's great for you to do that in private, which is in the bathroom. That's something that I think most parents agree that they can, that if their kids are going to be touching their privates, then they need to be doing that in private. And so that's an open, non-shameful message. Part of delivering a message to your kid that's not shameful is just being calm and open about it. Mm-hmm. And then in terms of, you know, okay, you know, sort of finish up, it's time to go. You could say we're leaving and, you know, it's time. Okay, it's time to go. Let's move on. And just be matter of fact about it. He probably already feels really comfortable. So, and probably does not feel shame about his body and about doing that.
Good luck, Maggie. Thanks for that call. We get this email from Deanna. Many people say that parents are the best example for appropriate affection and sexuality. I've heard from friends a gamut from people who walk around naked all the time around their kids to those who refuse to even kiss in front of them. What is appropriate and what risks introducing taboos?
So you're going to hate my answer, but it's your family. You decide. All over Europe, people are naked together all the time at all ages and families, and they are not having any more incidents of sex abuse or anything like that than we are. So you get to decide. It's your family. If you're comfortable and your kids are comfortable, okay.
That's fine.
Done deal. Fine. If you're uncomfortable being naked in front of your children, that's your perfect right to say, I like privacy, I want my privacy, that kind of thing.
Chris emails, oh, how I wish my parents had had the tools to even mention to me as a child that some people grow up to like their own gender. Do you offer any advice to parents these days on how to approach this?
I do, because this is such an important issue in our culture. And what I say to my parents is, first of all, you need to. I'm a big believer in scripting, so you need to come up with a script about how you explain to your young kids what gay means or what homosexuality means. And then you also, if you're opposed to homosexuality, then you need to find a way to talk to your kids about this that does not alienate them, because you can't know if your kid is gay just by looking. You can't tell by looking. So you need to be careful. And the goal is to stay in communication with your child and to remain engaged with your child, even about this issue that you may not agree with.
We have this email. One of my most vivid memories was an afternoon in 1966 when I was 8. I was a bright kid and I knew about the sperm and the egg, but I couldn't quite figure out how one made the leap to the other. So when my father came home from work, I asked him straight out, "Dad, how does the sperm get to the egg?" Silence. Seconds stretched into minutes as he took off his tie and hung up his white office shirt and pretended that the room was empty. Eventually, I realized no answer was forthcoming, and I left. And I was left with these questions and the extraordinarily inaccurate information that was available on the playground at recess.
Yet another reason to be talking to that at the on the playground at recess is another big reason to talk to your kids by the time they're 5 or 6, because they're entering a public school system. They're going to get all kinds of information, and you should want your kid to have accurate information about this.
I have read various parental experts talking about safe places to do any kind of talking, whether it's about sex or drugs or knives, I don't know what. And a lot of people talk about that there are different places, different ways to approach these with boys and with girls. And some people have said that with boys, it helps to be doing something, something else,
yes,
so that the talking actually happens. Do you have any thoughts about where and when?
Yeah, my favorite place is in the car.
Yes,
because you're focused on driving, you don't have to make eye contact, you can talk and talk and talk, you can ask them all kinds of questions. And one of the things that I recommend is having a say anything zone in your car. And that means your kids can say and ask anything. And that includes swear words and all of that. And probably not when you have friends in the car, but that gives the kids an opportunity to talk about this stuff where they don't have to be sitting and facing you. They can get to the issue maybe in a roundabout way, but they'll get there. And they have the space and time to know that they can say anything. And hopefully you'll be able to respond without throwing up.
So I just imagine this car. Sometimes you're approaching this car with this feeling of dread because you're going to have these intense talks.
Right. But you get used to it. If you start now where your kids are young, by the time they're 18, you're going to be on to stuff. You'll have a few riotous years, I imagine. But
Amy Lang is with us. And we get this email. When I was in first grade in 1959, my classmates kept talking about babies coming from the cabbage patches. I knew this couldn't possibly be right. So I asked my mother to explain things to me. She got out the Parents Guide from Encyclopedia Britannica. Between the book and my mom, I was well informed. However, I decided that since I knew the truth, my classmates should know it too. I took the book to school and showed it to them. That night, the principal was inundated with phone calls from irate parents. The next day, I was suspended, not as punishment, but to let this hubbub blow over. So, do you tell parents to tell their kids not to be sharing the information?
What I say to Milo, my son, is this is something we talk about in our family. And I am, you know, when we're reading a book, I'll say, remember, this is just something we talk about in our family. And of course, he's going to do what he's going to do. And this is another opportunity to have a script about what are you going to say to a parent that approaches you and says, your kid told my kid, na 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 na. And you need to be really clear about why you've decided to give your child this information at an early age, and, you know, and then head them my direction if they are, you know, needing support or whatever. But yeah, have a script about how you're going to respond to people.
Well, and with that, we end our conversation with Amy Lang. Birds and Bees and Kids is the name of her company that offers workshops and coaching for parents who want to talk to their, who need to talk to their kids about sex. Amy Lang, thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
This is Weekday on KUOW.